Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it. It's a navy blazer,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Georgina Blasky, and Sherry Andrew. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Heather, fresh back from Rome last
week.
How was it?
Yeah, it was really good. I hadn't been abroad for a really long time, A, pandemic, but B, because I was saving for a flat before that, so I was trying to be disciplined. So yeah, it felt really good to properly escape in a way that even if you're like sticking around here, you can't, it doesn't quite feel like you've sort of truly escaped. I've since realised since going and yeah, truly shutting off.
It's unfortunate how when you go away, when you go abroad, you do realize like, oh, it's just not the same in the UK,
yeah,
is it?
Exactly. And also I think the reason we went to Rome is because I interviewed the Telegraph's hotel expert for Gold. It was probably like a month ago or so, and she'd just come back from Italy, and I was like, oh, it's now a good time to go. And she's like, it's the best time to go, late October, November, because all the tourists have gone. Mm. It's still sunny, it's not that cold, and yeah, you can see everything you need to see.
And was she right?
Yes, she was right. Yeah, then in February, I think, not Venice in February because that's when the carnival is, but other places in Italy apparently good in Feb.
We actually
November.
Did Venice maybe last weekend of Jan or like mid-Jan before the pandemic, like 2020. It was heaven.
Yeah,
it was like skiing weather, like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we got lucky or if that's
no, I think that is quite, yeah, sunny, yeah, but cold.
It was like freezing in the shade and at night, but in the sunshine in the day you could sit in a t-shirt, like, yeah. It was really amazing, but anyway, very touristy. Anyway, so where did you stay, what did you eat, what did you do?
So yeah, stayed a couple of places. Stayed at Hotel Eden, which is this amazing place. It's part of the Dorchester collection that's basically by the Spanish Steps, so we stayed there on the first night. Wow. It was amazing, like really luxe, gorgeous views, really good location. Then we stayed at the new Hoxton Rome, which was really nice as well. Again, like everything you'd expect from the hotel group. I'd say that one's a little bit further away from the centre, so if you're happy to like walk around and you want that kind of holiday, then that's a good location for you. And it had also my favourite restaurant. It's called La Balestra. It's just a family trattoria around the corner, but we went in like really late when we got there. Yeah, like proper family owned, only Italians in there, like really good prices, really good food. And then we stayed at the new Mama Shelter in Rome as well, which was really, really good. It was in a really cool area next to the Vatican, but again, it was easy to get everywhere. It had really good views over the Vatican. It had its own Roman baths downstairs, which were really cool.
Oh, wow.
But in terms of, we basically went because it was booked quite last minute. We didn't really plan anything, but yeah, because it was quite dead comparatively, we could just sort of wander into all the museums.
Well, I spoke to Tobias about 3 days before you were going.
Oh, did you?
And he said, Heather is in charge of booking all the hotels and she hasn't booked anywhere. So
no,
and then he pulled out the bag last
well,
minute.
Well, also he was in charge of the flights and things. And then he only discovered like the day before we flew that we needed to get like various tests and stuff done before we went. So that was fun. We got to Gatwick Airport, yeah, about 6 hours before we needed to do one of those tests at the airport.
Oh, God.
It was all fine.
I admire the spontaneity of it all.
Yeah, we kind of like that, I think. But no, it was really good. And yeah, we didn't do the Vatican, but I feel like we did most of the other sort of big
places. Have you done
places.
It before?
Yes. Last time I went, I was 12. So a long time ago, but it's obviously an ancient city, so yeah. Loads of things haven't changed, but lots of good new stuff as well. But missing my daily pasta fix, missing all the espresso, I had a really good time. Would recommend.
I am 5 years ago, I think, we went to Rome and did the Vatican on a Sunday and stumbled into the Pope.
Oh, yeah.
No, doing not does, only giving yeah. a speech to the Vatican, which he does, I think it's once a month, it's the first Sunday of the month or something. He then came round in the Popemobile.
Oh, wow.
I got within about this,
really?
Yeah, 3 feet of him. Yeah, gosh. It was fantastic. Open top. I mean, obviously, it probably hasn't happened for 2 years now.
Oh, perhaps not.
Because of the crowds, anyway. But we just happened to be hanging out there and.
Why not?
Yeah, got a little. eyeball with the Pope.
I know everyone always does this, including me. Like, you go on a city break and you're like, oh, we need to go back immediately. But I am half like planning in my head anyway, a February trip back. But I mean, whether it will happen or not, I don't know. But I kind of want to go sooner rather than later to really mop up all this stuff, even like the restaurants we didn't quite manage to get to. It's hard, like, if you go sooner, then you'll actually do it.
You will. But then also, I find that doing a city break then gives me a taste for other city breaks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, so many places I've never been.
So many. Have you guys got anything booked?
I'm going to Paris in a couple of weeks.
That's nice.
Which is nice. And I've never actually been before.
Ooh, Sherry.
So I was going to be all shocked, but you know, I actually know a lot of people from the UK who have never been to Paris because it's almost too close and too easy.
This is what I think. And I think me and my friends were planning a trip pre-COVID, and then obviously it didn't happen. And obviously the Eurostar is so easy and quick. Yeah. So that's in a few weeks. So I'm very excited.
Fun.
What have you got planned?
Well, my boyfriend is actually French, so he and he's been to he's been to Paris quite a few times. So I'm just leaving it to him, really.
Be careful because it didn't work for me.
Make sure he checks the testing rules.
True. Yeah, I'm in charge of the logistics, he's got good recommendations. So it'll be lots of eating, touristy things. Nice. And yeah, just soaking up the culture. I'm very excited.
Wow, we've got so much to do. It's almost quite overwhelming going somewhere for the first time. You kind of need to do that and then go back a second time so you can just like eat and chill.
Yeah. Exactly.
But fun. I mean, you're not short of things to do there, are you?
Exactly.
We did a ginormous Paris guide, didn't we? About 2 and a bit years ago that I feel would still be quite up to date if you need any restaurant recommendations.
Yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Georgina, have you got anything booked?
Yes, we are going skiing.
Yay!
New year for the first time in a very, very, very long time. I actually just cannot wait. I've just got everything crossed that they don't... We're going to Switzerland. So Austria has announced some quite strict measures, which I'm hoping don't start trickling as a wave effect across the borders. I kind of wanted to go at New Year in the hope that we would squeeze something in case everything does close down again. Fingers crossed. Yeah, well, and also both my kids are vaccinated. Yeah. We're vaccinated. So, I mean, we've done what we can do to be able to go. I kind of feel if that's not enough, then it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
But obviously, I'm investing in ski kits, so I really hope it's going to happen. Otherwise, because obviously they've grown out of everything they had.
Of course.
So it's that whole thing of, now trying to find stuff for everyone to wear.
And are you going just the four of you?
Just the four of us, yeah. I think the resort we're going to has a few families that we know. But when I go away skiing, I quite like us to have our own place because I think it's that sort of holiday where you need proper downtime. Mm. I sort of like to put on my comfies at the end of the day and not really get out of them till the next morning.
Yeah.
rather than having to sort of, I've done the whole chalet with a family, dress for dinner, and all of that, but you know what, it's just not the holiday for that for me. I think a couple of nights out for a fondue or something fun is great, and I think on New Year's Eve in lots of ski resorts they do kind of epic firework displays and stuff, so that would be great fun, a bit of nighttime sledging, things like that, hunkering down and just chilling. Just a change of scene. I think that's the thing with a holiday, definitely. Isn't it, Heather? It's like you don't realize how much you need it until you're there.
You're
like, oh my god, I really need it to a different, like reading menus in different languages and just everything is like the sights, the smells. It's so stimulating to be in a different place. So.
Yeah, just wandering around basically where you don't know the streets is freeing in itself.
Yeah.
Did you read much on holiday?
Nope.
No,
absolutely nothing.
To be fair, it's not
I bought
holiday,
loads of books because I found a really nice bookseller and he ended up selling me 3 books I didn't need and couldn't carry around. But no, I didn't read anything. It's one of those holidays. Again, you're just out all day, so no time for reading.
Has anyone else watched, read anything interesting, Sherry?
Yes, I recently finished The Octopus Man by Jasper Gibson. I can't recommend it enough. It's probably the best book I read in the last 2 years.
Wow.
I think it came out...
Did you read a lot or have you read two things?
I do, to be fair, I do read a lot, but I am quite bad for reading loads of books at once, which I find works for me.
That.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know some people don't like it, but I just like to switch up, you know, something highbrow.
Hang on, so you have several books on the go?
Yeah. Oh, always, always, yeah.
I do not know Tobias does, my boyfriend, and I'm just like, why? No. I can't get my head around it.
But like very different genres. Okay. I like to have a very low level celebrity biography on the go at all times.
Yep.
That, you know, keeps it fun. But this particular book was so good. It's about one man who has recently been released from hospital after having a nervous breakdown and he's been diagnosed with schizophrenia. And it's about him living in the quote unquote normal world, and remaking those relationships with his family again, and how he readjusts to life post his diagnosis. And it's so interesting. It's just really thought provoking in a way that mental health hasn't really been spoken about before, because it's first person. It's just so interesting, and it kind of deals with it from different aspects. And yeah, I just read it. I'm like, you know, when you put a book down, you're like, whoa, I have so much to think about.
Mm.
It was one of those ones. So I definitely, wow. Yeah, sounds big like recommendation.
Is it as heavy as it sounds?
It is quite heavy, yeah. And it's quite, I guess, if you aren't very familiar with quite serious mental health illnesses, it's quite shocking, I guess. Mm. But I think that's a really good thing. But yeah, it's quite a heavy topic. But in it, there are points of, it's quite funny as well. And yeah, lots of light notes. So it's a good mix. But yeah, a really, really good read.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, it does. Is it long?
It's maybe like 300 pages. Okay. Yeah, like a standard hardback. But yeah, I read it in about a week, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that sounds really good. Thank you. Georgina?
Did anyone watch The Audience with Adele?
Oh, can I tell you? My best friend is a producer for Fullwell 73 who made it, and I was invited. Daisy, I said this to Daisy yesterday. I didn't want to go.
Oh my God. Oh, have you watched it, Charlotte?
I don't love Adele that much.
I don't either.
She's like, does anyone want to come? Like, to the girls. And I was like, when your instinct is yes, and I'm trying really hard at the moment to only do things that I really want to do.
Yeah.
So I took a step back and I was like, do I really want to do that? And I was like, no, I don't.
Fair enough. Personally, I would have jumped at the door.
I said this to Daisy, our social media editor, yesterday. She was like, are you joking? Like,
the celebrity. I mean, Adele was just so incredible. Mm. And I've heard her talk a lot before when she's singing, and she's quite sweary, and is a self-proclaimed potty mouth and all this. And actually, because it was on pre-Watershed, I think she said shit and that was it. But otherwise, it's literally effing and blinding the whole way. And she really laughs at herself. She just does not take herself seriously. And then she opens her mouth to sing, and the way she was styled and the dress she was wearing, she was insane. She looked like she was performing at the Oscars. Yeah, you know, it was stunning. But the best bit was watching the audience reactions.
That's so, what I've been laughing at.
There's this amazing
online
clip, I don't know if you've seen, of Emma Thompson.
I've seen, yeah.
Oh my God. And she's just infectiously joyous through the whole thing. And she literally got everyone up dancing. It was just a real celebration of an incredibly talented woman who writes all her own songs and who has obviously been through the mill. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
So well done ITV on Sunday night, because that was great.
Well, it's well done Full World 73. Who made it, actually. Yes, and Amy Nathan specifically. I completely get that. Like, I've got a lot of respect for her.
It's like an hour and a half, but you can skip some adverts too. So you get down to an hour probably.
I watched this weekend Tick Tick Boom. Tick Tick
Boom. Oh, yes.
On Netflix. It's the new Lin-Manuel Miranda film starring Andrew Garfield. It is... I'm going to try to explain this. It's really hard to explain. So it is about Jonathan Larson, who was the writer of Rent. So Rent the musical, that's the thing he's known for now. He was 35 when he wrote Rent. For those who don't know, it's all about the AIDS epidemic in New York. It's about a real cultural moment in kind of late 80s New York that's really kind of imbued with the kind of darkness of the AIDS epidemic as well. The night before Rent premiered on Broadway, he died from a complete freak, like aortic failure, something like that. Like, you know, one of those terrible, tragic things where somebody at 35 drops dead. So that's kind of his story and where his story ends, although Rent obviously went on to be this huge Broadway success. It's a film, etc. Before that, he had written two other musicals. One was called Suburbia. That was his first musical. And then the second one was called Tick, Tick, Boom, which was about the writing of Suburbia. So the film Tick, Tick, Boom is basically exactly that. It is the filmic version of his musical Tick, Tick, Boom, in which he explains how Suburbia was written. Are you with me?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
And I sort of didn't really get it till the end, because you're kind of going through the process of Suburbia being written, but then it's sort of interspersed with an onstage performance of what I now understand is Tick, Tick, Boom and what was written. So actually, although Lin-Manuel Miranda directed and produced it, all the songs are Jonathan Larson's from Tick, Tick, Boom.
Mm-hmm. So it's a musical film.
It's a musical film.
Okay, got
about
it.
A musical,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a musical within it as well.
Right, yeah.
So
very meta.
Very meta. Mm. Lots of layers. Anyway, I've spent far too long explaining it. So basically, Andrew Garfield is absolutely unbelievable in this. I mean, so Oscar worthy. Like, incredible. Who knew he could sing? I listened to an interview with him the other day saying a friend had lunch with Lin-Manuel Miranda and said that he might be interested. And this friend called him and said, listen, I think he's going to ask you to play this part. Can you sing? And he was like, well, I'm going to have to learn. And basically had a year and learned how to sing. I mean, he's obviously pretty gifted. Like, yeah, he can sing really, really well. I'm not sure I loved the show itself. It's a very kind of, it's the journey of a very tortured artist. Mm. And it's kind of, you kind of, if you love Rent, and like I know Rent really well, and you're kind of waiting for like the Rent bit to start, it kind of looks and feels a lot like that, because obviously it's set in kind of 80s New York. The reason he wrote Rent was because so many of his friends were dying of AIDS, and so it follows the same trajectory and it feels a lot like it, but it's just something else, and it's something else that's not quite as good. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. There's a reason that Rent was the success it was and that Tick, Tick, Boom wasn't. However, it's worth watching for his performance alone, and actually the songs are really good. There are some real earworms in there, so it's not a musical in the same way that Rent isn't a happy clappy musical. This is even less happy clappy than Rent, actually, but it's worth a watch to see some really, really good acting.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah,
I'll add it to the list. Yeah, I love Rent. It's on the list.
Yeah. It's like at the end you think it's going to go into Rent and it just doesn't. You're like, now I'll go and watch Rent instead.
Can I talk about House of Gucci?
Of course you can. Oh my god, have you seen it?
I saw it last night.
I don't know how I feel about it yet. It was a bit of a weird one. Oh no, it wasn't a weird one. I just don't know how I feel about it. Basically, Ridley Scott, who did Gladiator and many other films, Alien, many other films. He's quite a serious director. I think that's why this is very campy and over the top. And so it's a bit like, ooh, okay. I wouldn't have guessed he had made it. But it's set in the 70s and 80s. It's about, the Gucci family before it got taken over in the 90s. And it's based on the true story of the murder of one of the Gucci family members. Everyone knows from the beginning, but it was his wife who ordered his murder, and she then ended up imprisoned for 30 years. But it's basically the story of how they met and, you know, then the breakdown of their relationship and why she then wanted him killed, but interspersed with lots of fashion and sort of family dramas among the rest of the Gucci family.
And the he is Adam Driver.
Mm-hmm. They're both really good, but I think for me, every time I saw them on screen, I couldn't help but be like, oh, Lady Gaga, Adam Driver. Like, whereas Al Pacino's character, he's Aldo Gucci, so one of the older sort of original Gucci founders. Like, I was very much like, oh, that's Aldo. And Jared Leto's in it as well, in like loads of latex and prosthetics and stuff.
It looks nothing like him,
but again, his character is very over the top and jokey, and I still can't work out whether that was meant to be on purpose or not. So he's another Gucci person, but basically there were, you know, amazing cast, really good acting, but for me, I couldn't help but see Lady Gaga as Lady Gaga.
Did you feel like that when she was in A Star Is Born?
I haven't seen that.
Heather,
treat. What do you think? I think it's the most depressing film I've ever seen.
I think it's meant to be depressing.
Well,
isn't it
is, yes. Yeah. I didn't know that before.
But treat, you I
love
suppose.
It. I love
treat.
That.
Yeah, treat yeah. is wrong.
It was so classy and powerful.
Honestly,
and
top three
amazing.
Films of all time, in my opinion.
Sorry, yeah. I love the first half. The first 50% I thought was brilliant. And then after that, it was just the most miserable journey.
That's what I love, though. Dude, yeah, highs and lows. But in that, she was amazing.
Yeah,
and you didn't think of her as Lady Gaga. She was like Ali, the star.
I so agree.
So interesting that she doesn't seem like that in this
I guess
film.
Because she always wears like high fashion, doesn't she, and like ridiculous heels and obviously I don't know.
Maybe this role is more, although to be fair, that role, I guess maybe she's in A Star Is Born, she spends enough time as the ordinary person to start with that you kind of forget the Gaga-ness.
That's true.
I don't know, maybe she was very good in it, and also everyone's got slightly dodge accents, but you kind of get past that because it's 2 hours 40 minutes, so you know, you get into the swing of the accents.
That is long. I also think it's so stupid when they put on accents to speak in English. It's like, well, they were Italian, so why bother putting them in?
So they're doing an Italian, a sort of an Italian
speaking English.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
I know it's like, you know, to feel a little bit more authentic, but like they would be speaking Italian, so you know.
Exactly. Al Pacino is luckily, you know, convincing. Yes. but no, it is, it's really worth seeing. It's really good. The fashion's amazing. Mm. Some of the end scenes when Tom Ford takes over Gucci, I was just like, wow, really? Like, I wanted to be there. Like, that side of it was amazing. And also just seeing like the business of fashion, you know, the behind the scenes stuff and, you know, what really goes on, you know.
It's as unsexy as every business really,
isn't it? It is, but it's still fascinating, especially when you've got like the family dynamic versus, you know, these new investors who want to come in and things. I think it's 100% definitely worth watching. I think I just need to work out in my head whether I enjoyed it.
What's your reservation?
I don't know. Like, there was just something about it that I don't know. It didn't work.
Sounds like you were unconvinced.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was just.
Is it all true?
Yeah.
But it, what they, because you know where they sometimes go based on a true story.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you don't know exactly what conversations went on when, but I don't know. I think it's just basically, and some people will probably love it, and I'm not sure if I did or not, but you know, they'd be walking down the aisle and then Faith by George Michael would come on really loudly. And they did that a lot. I really liked the soundtrack, but I'm not sure if it was needed. Like, I feel like it doesn't know whether it was a sort of serious drama about what went on or whether it was like tongue-in-cheek funny. Like,
almost like Baz Luhrmann style from the
Yeah. But not as camp. It was quite camp in places, which I loved, but not quite as like self-knowingly like outrageous. Okay. It was a bit in between, I think, and that's why I can't work out whether I liked it or not. But definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I think I need to go and see it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Is it going to be on streaming services as well?
I don't know, actually. It's in the cinema this Friday, but I think eventually
it'll... It's super weird that it's not part of the like American True Crime Story series. I feel like it's more that vibe than this.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes, this is what I was thinking on the train. I think because we watched and loved The Assassination of Gianni Versace, I think that was better than this film. Got and you. It feels quite similar because it's about a murder and a fashion house set in the 80s. And I think I thought that was better
than this.
But the acting's great. It's worth watching. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I need to work out what I think because I've got to write a review in an hour.
You've got booked in the diary for a few weeks' time, a review of the new West Side Story.
Yes.
Which makes me so nervous. What strange, I don't know.
It's Steven Spielberg, so I'm hopeful it will be good.
Have you watched the trailer?
Saccharine, though, because the original's just...
It's perfect.
I mean, it is a perfect film, so why go there? I don't get it. What a shame.
Who's in it?
Oh, it's like that guy who used to go out with Taylor Swift.
Taron Egerton? No.
I know, like Ansel something.
That's it, Ansel Elgort, the one from Baby Driver.
I don't know if they're still together.
He is good. He is awesome.
We shall see. It could be amazing. It could be Cats. We don't know.
This is it. I'm just so scared that one day, if they're going to do this, then one day they will remake The Sound of Music, won't they? And that is just like sacrilegious.
I don't understand it. Like all these really big remakes. There are so many stories out there.
Yeah, agreed. Tell a new story.
Right? Yeah.
Speaking of film, I have a fancy dress party in 3 weeks, a film themed fancy dress party, which is very broad. Ooh, like that's a very
could
big
be anything.
Oh, yeah. That is the theme.
The theme is dress as a character from a film.
Ooh. Yeah, that's very
so
broad.
Ben and I want to do something together. What can we do that's like hot?
Bonnie and Clyde.
What do they look like?
Oh yeah, she looks fucking great.
I know what they look like, but as an outfit wise, what do I? Yeah, I don't look like Faye Dunaway.
So. Sort of. It's like post-20s, isn't it? So it's more like 30s, 40s. Maybe.
I still feel though, if you show maybe them, not glamorous people wouldn't enough. Get the reference.
Yeah, I think you need to look like something really obvious. Yeah.
Like everyone always goes as like Pulp Fiction, Uma Thurman, but don't do that because everyone
does that. You could be funny and do a kind of Kermit and Miss Piggy.
We could.
I think it's like quite
joke. Yeah,
like Shrek and Fiona.
Quite a glam. It's a Isabel.
Oh, you said hot. I forgot.
Yeah,
about that.
Do you know what I mean? It's like a Saturday. Yeah, Gatsby's quite nice.
There'll be a lot of Gatsbys.
Yeah, there will be.
This is a good.
I would go with something a bit less glamorous but more fun, like Jurassic Park. Sam Neill and Laura Dern.
Oh my god, I thought you literally meant a dinosaur costume.
Yeah, same.
That would also be cute.
I'm like the holiday armadillo over here.
I watched the other day The Matrix, the first one.
Oh, that would be cool.
That's quite cool because they're all like slit back.
Yeah,
black,
that's a really good
cool
shiny,
that's shiny
good
leather.
Yeah,
proper
you've got like
patent leather.
Trenches.
I've got loads of that kind of thing.
You can benefit in one.
I basically dress like The Matrix anyway.
They're really small sunglasses.
Yeah, I've got loads.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think we'd look quite cool like that.
Yeah, because you could slick your hair back.
Yeah.
Like
and then
Trinity.
Like if we went out afterwards I wouldn't be too embarrassed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like in my Jurassic Park costume.
Very YTK.
All sound of music. Get me some later.
Gurndle.
Yeah.
Dirndle, not Gurndle.
Okay, something to think about. I'll let you know what I choose.
Photos, please.
Yes, yeah. obviously. It's a true Instagram moment. Should we answer some questions? Somebody has asked ideas for spending New Year's Eve. How to spend New Year's Eve. You're skiing. What are you guys doing?
God knows. No idea.
What do you normally do?
Sort of switch between two different sort of friendship groups.
Depending which one you like.
No, like just sort of alternate, or basically whoever asks first, I say yes to. And then try and do both. Like I'll maybe go to, we tend to stay in or go to the pub that's sort of a 10-minute walk away. So depending on who we see first, we'll either go to the pub for a bit and then go to the other person's house or go to the other person's house for drinks and then go to the pub.
Okay.
But, oh, nice. Yeah, it's I locally. Prefer staying in, but so do other other people, or going to the pub, like basically something very low key that doesn't involve going out and paying a lot of money or transporting yourself anywhere too far. But like still making an effort to like get dressed up. And like when we go to my friends around the corner, he's Venezuelan and he always does a massive Venezuelan feast, also with the raclette, because he lived in Switzerland for ages. So it's like a bit of everything, but it's just a lot of fun and, you know, copious amounts of booze and it's just a laugh, basically. That so either of those things in some order, nice. I imagine, is on the cards.
What about you, Sherry?
That sounds really fun.
What do you normally do?
I'm not a big fan of New Year's Eve, to be honest.
Who is? Right. Does anyone love New Year's Eve? No.
It's too much pressure. I think it's only good if it's your birthday on New Year's Eve. Then you've won.
Or, can I tell you, I know a few people who've done their weddings on New Year's Eve. That would be good. Really good, because then you've got like a really fun plan.
That's true. Yeah. And you get New Year's Day off.
Well, exactly.
Very and clever. Every year you've got something else to celebrate. So yes, perhaps exactly. It ups the cheer factor.
I think so. Yeah.
That's true. So usually I try and be away. So this year, my friends and I have booked a little Airbnb in the Cotswolds.
That's
so nice.
Yeah, we're just going to like stay in, get dressed up, have like a little dinner party.
That's good. Yeah. Not going out. I've just done a feature telling everyone to do that.
Yeah, some people like to go out. Yeah. Out so that's fine. Yeah. Each to their own. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. A dinner party is definitely the best way.
Definitely. Yeah, if I'm not away, then I would try and just do something at home.
Yeah.
Last year, actually, I went to Borough Market on New Year's Eve. It was like one of the only places that was open, and bought loads of food, which we then just cooked at home. And we had a glass of champagne with some friends. Sort of, they were on the other side of the front gate. But you know, just stayed up watching. But there was some good fireworks last year, I feel, weren't there? Fireworks?
Not in England, but no, maybe elsewhere.
No, there was. Yeah.
Were there?
We watched the fireworks.
No.
I think they cancelled the ones on the Thames, didn't
they?
Cancelled
them again this year.
Yeah. drone show.
It was the drone show.
That was it. Everyone who records our podcast has identified it as a drone show.
Yes.
I don't remember that at all.
No.
What was it? Like lights?
Yeah,
you don't remember at all either.
I don't know.
I
thought they were fireworks. No, there were lights in the sky. It was beautiful.
I know no fireworks again this year, which is an extraordinary decision. But
there are some great. I'm actually a bit gutted that I'm not going out in London now, because there are so many good things happening.
Like what?
It's some fun like rave sort of warehouse style parties, which seem funny if they go ahead, but you can't be outside to look at some fireworks.
I mean, you can go to Twickenham Stadium with 80,000 people, but you can't. They predicted 100,000 on the streets for the fireworks.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Sherry.
So New Year's Eve. So Printworks and their sister property, I think it's called the Tram Shed.
Oh yeah.
They're having like a blowout, like huge New Year's Eve party. Bunga Bunga, they've got two sites, one in Battersea and one in Covent Garden. They are having, this sounds honestly so sick, I'd be going if I wasn't going away, a Sicilian themed evening with like dancers, aerial, like acrobatic performers. You get like a 3-course meal, and then at the end of it they clear the tables away, and then it just turns into a huge party with like a DJ, a bit of a rave, goes on to like 5 a.m. That sounds really fun.
That does sound fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're hardcore enough.
Yeah, if you want to be out late.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody has asked, Georgina, here's a question for you. Okay. What to wear in the evenings on a ski holiday over Christmas? You said you just like to keep it casual and comfy.
Trackies?
No, what to wear in the evenings on a ski holiday? I think you just want a pair of really warm, kind of thick legging type trousers, or like leather leggings, something like to keep you warm that you can tuck into your snow boots, and then a really nice kind of, maybe if you've got the budget, like a nice Bella Freud type knit, one of her sparkly ones, and then a nice gilet layered with another jacket and a nice hat. Keep yourself warm. There's some gloves, but yeah, I tend to go for a sort of nice jumper with something a bit sort of sparkly on it, you know, kind of a snowflake knit. I think go for the theme, just embrace it. You're on a ski holiday. Yeah.
Mm. You could always just accessorize as well, couldn't you? So if you've got some leather leggings and some black jumpers, then add some earrings and some
exactly.
sparkly bits, a belt.
Exactly. I think though, you can end up going, if you're going into a restaurant on a ski holiday, you can walk in and it's like really hot. So layers. You want to be able to take that jumper off and have something underneath.
Yes, good point. And footwear, I mean, you need something you can walk in the snow. Moon boot type things.
Yeah, I've actually got a brilliant pair from Stories, which I think they still do. It's like a tan coloured sole and then a black leather ankle boot, which has those kind of lace up, those thick, like stripy laces. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wear those.
Can I tell you, I bought a pair like that from Primark.
Great. Yeah,
they're exactly what you described. They were like £27 or something.
And are they genuinely like waterproof they are as well?
Well, I think so. I wouldn't like to confirm that you won't break your ankle on, you know, I don't know what the grip is like. But seriously, they look so good and they are so toasty. Ooh. And they are, I mean, they feel waterproof.
Yeah, I think you want, if you can get something with a little kind of fleecy lining inside, that is.
You're onto a winner.
Definitely key.
But anyway, the point being, loads of high shoe places have that kind of boot right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to go to some specialist ski outlet. You can go to anywhere.
Christmas party outfit ideas. Want to buy something I'll wear again? Has anyone even begin to? Ours is in 2 weeks. You know that. It's super soon.
Yeah. So soon. I know what I want. I just need to get it and find it. I really... It's annoying because this happened last time, but I really want one of those Simone Rocha H&M dresses, like the see-throughish ones, but they're all on eBay and they're still like £200.
But rent one.
Where? How? Even the H&M ones, or maybe a genuine Simone Rocha. I don't know if I dare.
It was the same price, pretty much. So you might as well rent a Simone Rocha
one. Maybe I'll look. Yeah, because that's what I want. I've got an idea of what I want. But
look at, honestly, look at her. They have basically everything. I think that's
cool. They have a pop-up at the moment.
They do. They announced it yesterday.
Yes.
Is it open yet?
It's opened, yeah.
Where is it? Selfridges? They've done one there before, haven't they?
No. In Selfridges, it's not a pop-up. They're fully in there. So it opens this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
It opens this Saturday on the King's Road.
Ah. But yeah, that's what I want to wear.
Oh, I just need to see you in that, Heather. That
I just need to find it.
Definitely. Well, they'll have something for sure.
Anyone else?
Georgina, Christmas party outfit?
Well, if... money was no object. I would like one of those. I'm probably going to say the brand wrong. Salome, the velvet dress with the bows down the front.
Oh, yeah, that's gorgeous.
They're gorgeous. Oh, was she? How funny. Mm. So I would, I like those.
Agreed. Well, that's a nice choice. Agreed. Sherry?
I think I might go for a sequin trouser.
Nice. Cool. You look good in a sequin trouser.
Oh, thanks, Heather. Yeah, it's my signature, like, going out, go-to look.
So you have some already?
I have a few pairs. I like to collect them. Okay. So I think River Island do a really good one.
I was just about to say, River, there's a black pair that I tried on the other day that are really cool.
I actually went into the one on Oxford Street on Saturday. I didn't see those ones, but I saw a really nice, like, blush pink pair.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them,
which are very nice. Mm-hmm. But the ones I've got are silver. So I think I might wear those. Otherwise, Becky bought a really nice velvet suit from Zara, which I had my eye on, but obviously she got there first. It's okay.
You can wear it for something else. New Year.
True. Also, winter wedding. I've finally got a wedding. Yay, that's February. My third one of my life.
You're racking them up. A velvet suit is lovely for a February wedding.
Yeah. So I think that's a good go-to as well.
Definitely. We were doing some filming for Lux Girl yesterday, and Daisy had a satiny suit from Zara as well, which looked amazing. Like a really oversized black jacket, double-breasted, satiny trousers. I think she's gonna wear that to the Christmas party as well. It was a really good one.
Nice.
Zara, I mean, you can't really be
Go wrong. I've got a winter wedding on the 22nd December.
Lovely.
Yeah, really nice. So I don't know what to wear. Maybe a velvet suit. What will you wear on top of your sequin trousers, top half? Do you feel like you've got to play down?
Oh, definitely. Usually I wear it with like an oversized t-shirt and trainers to like dress it down.
Oh, yeah, nice.
But I think a bit more dress up, maybe like a camisole.
Yeah.
I haven't thought that far
ahead. Or an oversized blazer.
True.
Hang on, Charlotte, what are you wearing to the Christmas party? I haven't got a clue. That's next week's problem. We'll troubleshoot that when we come to it. I might actually I probably will rent something. I won't be buying something new, and I don't have anything. The only thing that's like vaguely festive that I have is a pair of sparkly leggings that I wore to the Christmas party in 2016 and to the Christmas party in 2019. So they probably won't be coming back out again. I think it's time to get something else. So I'm going to rent. Maybe we should have a browse on her together later.
If you see anything, let me know.
You will do. Okay, a bit of travel-ish content. Best places, a bit of a travel-ish question. Best places to travel an hour outside London for independent shops and restaurants. Okay, where can you go for a weekend away that isn't too far outside of London?
That isn't Brighton. Because I talk about that all the time.
Are you from Brighton?
No, I'm not actually.
You're actually not from Brighton. You know what I mean.
Cambridge.
Good one.
That's a lovely staycation spot. It only takes, I think it's like 50 minutes.
It's not far from King's Cross at all.
Yeah, or Liverpool Street if you're east.
What is that lovely hotel in Cambridge? What's it called?
University Arms?
Yes, that's it. Yeah. I've always thought that was really nice. Yeah,
that is nice.
Mm. I think that's really nice. Loads of things you can do. I went a few weeks ago with my girlfriends and we did punting, which I didn't realise you can do all year round.
Mm.
That was really fun. Lots of...
and your friends are very proactive.
Yeah, they're
We need to take my time. My friends and I are so lazy.
We like to get, things in the diary, make the most of the weekend.
Yeah.
Lots of independent shops, if that's what we're after. Bookshops, obviously, for university there, all the colleges, beautiful. Lots of wine bars, importantly.
Very
rooftop
important.
Bars. It's got everything and it's so quick.
Yeah.
From
it's
London.
It's a great one. Georgina?
I think, I don't know, I sort of think the places I would be thinking of are probably a bit more than an hour. Mm. You know, places like Bruton, obviously Oxford, Bath, but they're more like on a train, probably about 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can drive to them in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well, Oxford's less than that, isn't it? Mm. Yeah.
I'd say Lewis is really nice. Mm. I mean,
that is basically Brighton.
It's
but I'll
not.
Let you have
it's
it.
Not. It's very, very different.
You know, where near is Brighton.
It hasn't got the sea. No, but that's got loads of really good indie shops, but especially sort of homeware related ones, if that's your thing. And yeah, lots of cozy pubs. Mm. The Vampire's Wife has got their only shop there.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, I guess they're based on the caves, aren't
exactly,
they?
Exactly.
Okay. Somebody has said, bought a new house, have literally nothing. Where do I start?
In terms of furniture?
I think, let's assume that it doesn't need knocking to pieces. Okay. I think you need a sofa. I think the first thing you need is a sofa.
The first thing we did was get a sofa because we physically didn't have one.
Yeah. You need somewhere to just flop at the end of the day. And when if you, like me, live without a sofa for like X period of time when you're waiting for a new one, it's very hard to flop on a kitchen chair or your bed. You know, it's not really the same,
100%.
Is it?
But if you're waiting for long lead times and things, there are some good furniture rental packages where you can kind of rent, like you were going to rent your Christmas party dress, you can rent a living room, side tables, lamps, sofas, sideboard,
what a fucking
whatever.
Great idea.
That is genius.
Yeah.
So, and they can have it to you in a week or something.
Yeah. So they've got it all. There's a few different ones. So John Lewis were doing it. You need to double check if they still are. There's a place called Hearth doing it.
Hearth, H-E-A-R-T-H.
H-A-R-T-H. Okay. It's worth just looking around. There might be companies local to you wherever you're based. There are some that are nationwide. It's a good idea. In fact, I might write a feature on it. Yeah, and I think also in these times of being a little bit more eco-conscious rather than just buying something, you know, for the interim. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
So much better. Totally. And it's also a nice way to work out how you use your space.
Yeah.
You know, you might think you want a 2-seater sofa, but actually you might need a 3-seater sofa. Yeah. And you need to sort of dwell to work that out.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Genius.
Yeah. Such a good idea.
But otherwise, sofa and bed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, sorry. Bed goes without saying. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need bed. And like a fridge. Cherry, how's the house coming? The new flat?
The house is coming. It's coming together. Yeah. I feel like it looks a little bit sparse at the moment. We're not sure whether we can like hang stuff up because we're in a rented property. Mm-hmm. So some landlords are a bit funny about that. But she sounds like a hun. So I think she's going to do it and then hope for the best.
Yeah,
exactly. And my housemate Danielle is like an amazing artist. So she's done really cool prints of like me and all my friends.
Oh, that's great.
Cool. I know, it's really cool. So I want to get those framed and like put up. She does really cool illustrations of like celebrities like Cheryl Cole, Kim Woodburn, quite low level, right. But like very on brand for us.
Drag Race style celebs.
Yes, exactly. So we want to put some lights up. We need to get a lamp. That's the thing that I'm struggling to buy, a really nice tall lamp for the living room. So maybe an edit on that, Georgina, please. This would be lovely.
Okay, leave it with me.
Thank you.
Okay, final question. Oh, someone says we need Strictly Chat. I'm afraid this isn't the crowd for Strictly Chat. We'll have to, next week we'll do a Strictly catch up.
Isn't it better
special.
To get nearer the finals? Probably a good time.
No, I have lots to say about
chat.
It right now. But
yeah. No,
I won't bore you both.
I'll nod,
with it.
It's fine.
Georgina and I will chat about it later. somebody says there's been quite a few. There's actually been quite a lot of questions about work-life balance. People have said, would love to know how the team maintain work-life balance during busy periods. How do you cut off from work on evenings/weekends? I think everybody's laughing while I'm looking at my phone because I'm guessing no one does. Yeah, there's been just lots of questions. So, top tips for switching off. I know we're all busy, but come on. What do you do when you really need to just disconnect? Heather?
Go to Rome.
Take a holiday and escape. I guess, either read. That's my main thing, I think, because when you've been staring at a screen all day, I just don't want to watch TV when I get in sometimes. So reading a book or cooking is my other thing that I like doing. Although sometimes when you're like sort of stress cooking because you're starving when you get in, it's not quite as relaxing as it could be. But no, they're my two. Then trying bloody hard to have at least one free weekend a month where you've got zero plans. I mean, you always end up doing stuff eventually, but I think it's so good to have at least one weekend where you just know if you want to, you can have a lie-in. Mm. You don't have to be anywhere or do anything. I think that's something I like to focus on. Like, oh, I need 2 more weeks and then I can do bugger all, basically.
So true. Yeah, so true.
Very true.
Cherry?
I think have at least one day of the week where you don't look at your emails at all. It's like a Saturday.
Like a Tuesday.
Obviously the weekend, but like on a Saturday, I will never, ever look at Gmail. On a Sunday, I might have a little glance for the week ahead. Mm. And also scheduling emails, because I particularly don't like to receive unless it's an emergency, of course, but like a random email, like 10 p.m. on like a Tuesday. So if I do have to send something, I'll always schedule it to send the next day at like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
on the next working day, just to be a bit considerate of other people. And then just having a bath. I think that's the only thing that really makes me unwind after a busy day, candle on. It sounds really obvious. Some people hate baths. I personally, a bit of, what's that brand? Espar bath oil there. A neon candle. Wonderful.
Yeah. Ooh, lovely. Yeah. I was going to ask you how you pimp your bath, but there you go.
Yeah.
That is so true. And also, even if you hate baths, you can't deny the relaxed factor of those kind of bits, you know, a nice candle, but like even if you're in it for 10 minutes, you can't have that.
Yeah, that's true.
Georgina?
I mean, all of the above. I think just putting your phone away is the main 100%. Thing, because obviously we've all got work emails on our phones, so it's really hard to disconnect from work if you've got your phone around. Sometimes I just like stick my phone on airplane mode for a few hours. For me, it's seeing friends. It's seeing people who are unrelated to my work is the biggest tonic, because even if you say at the beginning of the evening, please can we not talk about work, don't ask me anything, I'm just switching off and I want to talk about other stuff.
What
about you, Charlotte? How do you switch off?
I can't remember if I've said this on the podcast already. The only thing I can do is have no weekday plans, and I have to say it's changed my life. Like before the pandemic, I used to run around like a lunatic. Anyway, I've basically stopped, particularly when it's cold out. I think it was cold and dark. I really need to know that by 7:38 I'm at home and I'm, you know, routined. I can have a proper dinner, I can stay warm, I can go to bed. I just can't have the like intensity of the days that we have and then go out in the evenings. I rate people who can do it, but I just burn out so quickly that way. So, and I have super fun. Like this weekend was so fun, did loads, but in the weeks, basically Monday to Thursday, I'm at home, and then knowing that I've got those 4 nights to come back to every night just really makes all the difference. Not sexy, but it works. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your questions. Don't forget to keep your eyes peeled for the question box. It goes out on Instagram stories. Or you can email podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.